This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you for listening on Stitcher, iTunes, or on the Brando Cash Network. Thank you for enjoying your freedom of speech. We give you this show absolutely for free. It's by the fans, for the fans. We're here to talk about some Washington Capitals hockey on What the Puck. Of course, joining me via Skype is my good buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much over here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This past weekend, a little bit of Caps, a little bit of something going on in Caps world. We had the last developmental scrimmage for the week after developmental camp. We had the Fan Fest going on. What did you enjoy this year's Fan Fest?
I can tell you it was certainly crowded. I think the first period I ended up watching behind the glass, not the glass down by the ice, but between the two different ice sheets that they have there, so which I kind of had to keep moving around to get around people to sort of be able to see what was going on. But it was certainly a lot of fun. I think it's great for the team, and it's great for the area and for the fans to be able to have this many people going, even though my visibility was somewhat limited, which is my own fault that I didn't make it as early as I wish I had. But it certainly was a lot of fun to go and see, and I liked a lot of the young guys playing. But the thing is, I think it's always about developmental camp and going to these things where you have a lot of the young guys playing, is that these guys aren't going to be playing in the NHL anytime soon. So there's a lot of, you know, it's not quite as crisp, it's not quite as nice as seeing NHL guys play when you go over to Kettler and watch them in a regular practice, but still certainly a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things of the summer. I absolutely love going to Kettler for this Fan Fest, seeing all these other hockey fans that are missing hockey, and even though it's July, they're sitting down to watch a Caps, somewhat of a Caps game. But man, I tell you, every single year, you got to get there early, man. You got to get there early. I got there around 8:30. I left my house in Baltimore at 7, and I got down there a little bit after 8:30. I got lost, of course, going down there on 495, and I got into some Easy Pass Express lane that I didn't know how to get off of, and I was very confused, but got there eventually, hit up the store, you know, stood in line to meet Steven Oleski, who was a really cool guy, and watched a little bit of scrimmage, went to the equipment sale, you know, did all the stuff that that fans are supposed to do. Besides, we'll get into the scrimmage real quick. I just want to bring this up, though. I got to throw my support behind one guy who actually got ejected from the Fan Fest, and there's a story about it on Capitals Outsider that you write for, but Ovi the Bulldog, not welcome at Fan Fest. I was very sad to see that. Did you see any of this story unfolding on Twitter?
I saw a little bit of it, and I can it's very silly. Like, I understand why people could be upset, because it's sort of nice to have these. He's not not a mascot, I guess, per se, but kind of like that, where he's doing his thing. But I can understand, I mean, different people have, I work at a summer camp, so I'm sort of always kind of aware of these things, but like, different people have allergies, and you know, you never want to get any of the fans upset because you have the dog there. But they could have certainly done something where they're still allowed to have him there, but keep him in one spot. But I'm not like upset about it. It was just kind of, it's one of those things where you're just like, how is this a problem?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I got a little connection with Ovi the Bulldog, because I have a Bulldog Scotty dog mix, and so I got a soft spot for Ovi there. I was very sad to see that he got the boot. I was hoping actually I could get a picture with him or interview his dad / owner. So very sad to see Ovi the Bulldog get the boot, which sucks. But follow him on Twitter. At Ovi the Bulldog. Let's talk a little bit about these developmental guys. The scrimmage, it was a lot of fun to watch. It really was. We saw Kostenko. I saw him up in Reading around Christmas. Here he is at developmental camp. He looked okay. He seemed like he still needs to go through and get some experience under his belt. It seems like the nerves might have gotten to him a little bit. But I think just having the crowd there for that last scrimmage is a big deal for these guys, because I don't think they're used to skating or playing in front of a rabid fan base like that. And if you go to a Caps game, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of fan interaction. You know, we used to have Ovi crashing the boards into the fans all the time. These guys need to have these fans behind them so they kind of get used to playing in front of these types of crowds. But, of course, the one guy that everybody was looking at was Tom Wilson. through the scrimmage, I mean, were you keeping a close eye on Tom Wilson to see what he was doing, or were you trying to get like a more broad spectrum?
Well, it's kind of hard not to see Wilson when the guy's out there. I mean, he's clearly above all the players, not just in size, but in his skill. He was out there. The thing I thought was funny is that he clearly has an opportunity to make the team, the Caps, like NHL roster, in September and October, and I certainly could see him playing with them, but he wasn't out there as a guy, and he could have been to some extent as a guy who's just sort of going through the motions because he knows he's better than the guys that are there for the most part. If not, he actually is better than the guys that were there, but he's certainly hitting everybody no matter who they were, and he was flying around. Him and Burakovsky looked pretty good when they were out there together, and I certainly like what I saw from him, and I really do think that he has a shot to make this team. I think he'll start out on the fourth line, but he certainly has an opportunity to do something bigger than that going forward and see what we can see from this guy. But I like what I saw from him. I thought you mentioned Sergei Kostenko a few minutes ago. I thought him and Brandon Anderson actually did not look good at all during the first period, Anderson especially. I was expecting more from these guys, especially Kostenko, because I don't think he's necessarily getting like a second shot per se, but he's an older, you know, not a rookie goalie, but he's an older goalie for someone who was recently drafted. I think he's 21 now. So he certainly has a couple of years where he may have an opportunity to do something. He may be one of those guys like Tim Thomas who doesn't sort of bloom until he's in his 30s, but it's one of those situations where they certainly had an opportunity to take the lead being the first goalies out there, and I thought both of them looked actually really poor in the first period, and they looked a lot better in the second, so things certainly got better. But I really liked what I saw from them. I like what I saw from Burakovsky, but I still think he's got a couple of years to go before he'll be playing in the NHL. We're not really sure where he's going to be playing. I know McPhee came out. I saw on Twitter that he had said that he's going to be talking to him, I guess it was over last weekend, about where he would be playing next season. I think the latest report we saw was that he'll be playing in Sweden, but no one's really sure just yet what's going to happen with him. Bowie, who they drafted in the second round. I actually thought he looked really good when he was out there. He's got good control of the puck. I like his vision, is able to make passes. The thing I noticed is, like, this guy can make a really great pass, but then the other player could screw it up. So then you're kind of like, well, wait, is it a bad pass where he should have made the play, or which guy messed up? One guy I wanted to see that I just couldn't find very much, and maybe that's because my vision kind of sucked for the first period, was Riley Barber. He's one of those guys that he was a sixth-round pick. You're not really expecting a lot from him. I know he's going back to college for another year. I believe he's going back to college for another year. But he's got a lot of talent. He's one of those guys that you could see that maybe in a year or two he could have a shot at making the NHL roster and playing with the Capitals. The guy could potentially end up being one of your top six players, which would be great considering they only got him for a sixth-round pick. He's one of those guys that just has the energy and the desire to be there. So I certainly think of all the guys that were there, Wilson's the only one that really has a shot to make it on the team out of training camp. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of guys get an offer to sort of get an invite to be there just for the experience.
Yeah, you know, Tom Wilson, he's got Stanley Cup playoff experience, so he's got that behind him. But he's just such a big guy. And I think Adam Oates sees that he is a big guy. And Adam Oates is always, you know, he's talking about using his entire body, using his height and not, you know, scrouching down. And where he was playing before, there's a lot of shorter guys. So it just is like pretty much a height thing. Do you want him to continue to play like he's not a big, tall guy? Or do you want him to use his whole body at that NHL level? So really, Adam Oates is going to be the one that has to decide where this guy ends up. I mean, there's a chance he ends up at the NHL level, and I hope he does, because what I saw on Saturday, I was impressed with. I think that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and he's a young guy, and I think he's going to fit in well with these Capitals. But if Adam Oates doesn't like him, he could be heading back to the OHL. Who knows? The other guy you just brought up, you know, George McPhee was talking about how where our number one draft pick, Burakovsky, I hope I'm saying that right, where he's going to end up. 2 days ago, the Erie Otters, they actually tweeted out that the Capitals want him to go there, to the Erie Otters, and play in Erie. But again, he was not very happy. Burakovsky was not very happy about that he wanted to stay in his homeland and play over in Europe. So we'll see where he ends up. It seems like it might be one of those Kuznetsov deals, where he wants to stay over in Europe and still play, and the Capitals want the other guys to come over to the U.S. So we'll see what happens here. Only other really big name is the oldest guy that was at developmental camp, Patrick Way. He's a 2009 yes. fourth round pick. Russian Machine Never Breaks did a story about him and how he wants a spot on the Hershey Bears. So if he did anything in this developmental camp, this is probably going to be one of his last shots to get anywhere. But it seems like the Hershey Bears may be a place for him to land.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him do there. And I think the Caps have high hopes for them, for him. I think that he's one of those guys that you can end up seeing getting a shot at the NHL level potentially this season as sort of an injury call-up. Maybe he gets what they call a cup of coffee in the NHL and heads back down to Hershey. I do think he'll be a Bears player for the season. And then we'll see what happens sort of in the future. It all depends what they do with the different players they have right now and what they decide to do going forward. I mean, you have Alsner, Green, Carlson locked up for a couple of years. Erskine's here for at least another year. And then we only know going forward, we have to see what we're going to get from Orlov and Kondratik and from Alexi and just all these different guys that they have on the team and sort of how you're going to fit these other players in. So it's really going to be up to each individual player outside of, I would say, Green, Alsner, and Carlson that can sort of force the team to play them in the end. That's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to force Adam Oates and George McPhee to keep them in the NHL by playing as well as they should be. And so we'll see what happens going forward with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So developmental camp, fan fest, a lot of fun. If you haven't checked it out, try it out next year. I can't say it enough. It is a ton of fun. I enjoy it every single year, and it's fun to see some hockey in July. But the coolest thing that happened this past weekend at FanFest, man, I got a little audio clip to play, but Stephen Oleski, he was signing autographs at FanFest, and I stood in line, you know, after I got there at 8:30, went around the store, picked some stuff up. It was around 9:15, so I decided to go stand in line to meet Stephen Oleski. I was about the fourth or fifth person in line. But my plan was I was going to go up to him. I got What the Puck t-shirts printed, and if anyone's interested to purchase one, let me know because we can get that going. Pictures up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WTP podcast. But my plan was to make these WTP t-shirts and to give one to Oleski kind of as a way of saying, hey, this is a podcast that I do, and I really enjoy talking about the Capitals. I would love to have you on for the show because we've tweeted back and forth, and he said he'd do the show. But then we can never get really anything set up. So this was kind of my way of going, hey, I just want to talk to you about hockey. I just want to have a good time and talk to you about hockey. So as I got up to line and everything, up in the line, I said, hey, here's a t-shirt. I do a podcast called What the Puck, and I'll just let you listen to this audio real quick, and he'll give you an answer, and he'll let you guys know what's going on.
I do a podcast called What the Puck. This is a shirt for you. I hope to have you on
awesome.
One day.
Yes, thank I you. Listened to it the other day.
Did you?
When it was tweeted, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, that was Stephen Oleski saying, hey, I dig your show. I listened to it last week when it was tweeted out. So, pretty much when he said that, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I can't believe it. He actually listens to the show. And I was on cloud nine the rest of the day. And that's when I ran into you right after I met him and told him that. And you're like, are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, wait, really? See, the thing is, it's one of those things where he says it and you're like, oh, okay. And then you're kind of like, wait, did he just say what I think he said? Yeah. It's just it's one of those situations where you're kind of like, you have to take a step back to sort of think about it and go, that actually just happened.
So that's the best thing about, you know, being on a podcast and being on the web and everything is we really have no idea who's listening to us and who isn't. So Stephen Oleski, if you are listening right now, thank you so much for listening to the show. This is that was really great to meet you. You were such a cool guy to everybody on Saturday, but we would love to have you on the podcast, and we'd be excited, and we could Skype with you, and it'd be great to have you on there. So any other fans out there want to tweet to Stephen Oleski and get him on the show as well, kind of be our backup here, tweet to him and say, hey, we want to hear you on What the Puck. So Oleski, enjoy the shirt, man. Other two guys we got to thank as well, they also got t-shirts, was the voice of the Capitals, John Walton, and the PA announcer, the voice for when you're at the phone booth, Wes Johnson. Made sure those guys gave us interviews last year, so I made sure that I made t-shirts for him this year. So thank you guys for doing interviews with us last year and enjoying and being a part of FanFest and everything, but pretty cool, man. We got a famous listener. I'm pretty happy.
it'd be funny if we're sort of sitting here and then this thing comes up, what, tonight or tomorrow, and then we get a tweet out and he's like, oh, I enjoyed the show, and we're like, what? That just happened.
I'm gonna print out that tweet and frame it on and put it in Studio B. So that's what I'll do. But That's really good stuff, man. So thank you, Oleski. Good times. I hope everybody enjoyed FanFest. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the Capitals. And, Coach Dan, you actually we were talking before the show, you wanted to bring up something about Mojo. So let's talk a little bit about Mojo.
Well, I think he's right now their biggest question mark. One of the biggest question marks is what are they going to do with the second line center spot now that Ribeiro's gone and pretty much everybody has been signed except for Mikhail Grabowski, that's a free agent, that could really fit into that spot. No one really knows what's going on there unless McPhee decides to come out and make some sort of surprise trade. So I think the biggest question with the Caps right now is how much money is Marcus Johansson going to make? I don't anticipate, although it could happen, but I do not anticipate that he's going to end up getting traded or signed and then dealt in one of those kind of deals. I do think he'll be back with the Capitals next season because I think Oates is a big fan of Johansson. I think he likes what he brings to the team. I think he likes him on the first line, and he's going to give him that first shot, at least in training camp and probably the beginning of the season, to sort of stay there and see what he can do. And the thing is going to be, how much is he going to make? Last season, he came away with a cap hit of $900,000. That was his rookie deal, so we don't really know what's going to happen going forward. I know that Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post came out recently. I'm not a big fan of Neil Greenberg because I think he looks too much. I think he doesn't listen anyways. I think he goes too much statistics and not enough. He doesn't look outside of that enough. But he came out with an article stating that he thinks that Johansson will end up likely making between 2.5 and 3 million per season. I guess I could see that. I could see Johansson ending up with that much money, but I think Johansson's too streaky. He's sort of like, I think he's better Tomas Fleischmann, but Fleischmann got overpaid, so I don't think you can necessarily make that comparison that he should make as much as Fleischmann is making. But I think he's sort of streaky in that way. Last season, he started out really poorly. Some of that can be attributed to an injury, and then after he came back from his injury, it was a concussion at one point that he actually was doing incredibly well, and he was, I believe, a point-per-game player. So I could see him making somewhere between 2.5 and 3. I would like to see him get sort of a short, maybe a 2 or 3 year deal at somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million. And then if he plays good through that contract, then you reward him with a bigger deal and certainly have him as part of your core.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Johansson and the other guy, Matthew Perreault, they always seem to be battling each other because they're kind of always going for the same spot. And Mojo definitely came out on top when he first got here. But again, the two of those guys are very, very streaky. But when it comes to money, George McPhee made a lot of sense recently in an interview that he had. He said, listen, we would love to get guys like Mike Ribeiro and Matt Hendricks and have them stay and be a part of this team, but they're going to teams that can spend $4 million on a fourth liner. But we have Ovechkin, we have Backstrom, and we have Green. We've got three huge stars on this team and three players that are very good that we don't want to lose in any way. So a lot of the money has to go to those star players where other teams have one star player. And the Capitals have at least three star players right there in Ovi, Backe, and Greeny. But Mojo is a guy who I think has a lot of talent. I don't think he's like, you know, like Salmon or something where he's like doesn't feel like playing. I think that he kind of, there's a chance he may like beat himself up and kind of get into his own head, and I think he's kind of working at that, and I think he wants to be the best player he can be, and I think that he loves playing hockey, and I think that this isn't just a job to him. This really is a passion. I mean, look what happened with the lockout. The lockout was over, and you know he left the bus and was like, I don't need to go to the next game here. I'm going to go back to the U.S. now. So for me, I can see, you know, 2.5 maybe being the maximum for a guy who is going to float around. Be on the first line sometimes, be on the second line other times. So I think 2.5 would be a fair price for him. But George McPhee, you know, he's always looking for a deal. So maybe he'll go a little bit lower.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I don't think – hopefully the thing doesn't drag out too long. I think I read that Johansson's actually – he's either made his way back or he's going to be making his way back to Sweden. But I still think – I do think there's a deal. I think it's going to come down to – I don't want to see it being how many years. If it's a decent cap hit, then you could sign him to a little bit longer deal. But if you're going to give him something like 3 or even 3.5, I think it needs to be a short deal. He can prove that he's earned that kind of a contract. So we'll see what happens going forward with him. He's one of those guys I think he's better suited for the second line in his career. I don't think he's a top-line player. I don't think you'll see a team that's going to win a cup with Marcus Johansson on your first line, but I hope I'm wrong. I certainly hope he plays better. I like Marcus Johansson. I like what he brings to the team, but I need to see more from him in the long run before I can say that he's really as good as some people think he is.
I agree with you. That's you make total sense there.
There was another thing you said about – sorry, I'm going to interrupt. But there's another thing you said about McPhee that kind of bugged me. I just remember this. I think a tweet came out recently. I think it was during developmental camp. Well, he said he knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign Matt Hendricks and Mike Ribeiro at the deadline. Now, I can understand letting Hendricks go. I'm okay with that as much as I liked Hendricks. And I will still wear that T-shirt that I have of his. But – if you knew you weren't going to be able to bring back Ribeiro because he was going to want too much money, why would you not make a deal at the deadline to sort of be able to protect yourself in the future? Like, you went out and you traded one of your top prospects in Philip Forsberg for Martin Ehret. I like Ehret, but why would you not move Forsberg for a guy who can play center? Yes, maybe you kind of mess up your lines a little bit by having two centers that could play on the second line, and you may potentially cause problems with the new guy. But why not protect yourself a little bit for the future? Why put all of your I don't know, cash or your sort of your chips on the table for a guy who can only play on the wing? That sort of if he knew, maybe he was just talking out of his ass, I don't know. But if he knew that he wasn't going to be able to bring Ribeiro back at the deadline, then I'm really disappointed that he didn't do something in advance to bring in a second line center, because I don't believe for a second that he really thinks that Brooks Like is their second line center on a Stanley Cup winning team. I think right now he's hoping he will be because he doesn't have any other options. But I think I'm just disappointed that he didn't make a move at the deadline knowing that Ribeiro was probably gone.
Yeah, GM, he's got these moments of brilliance, you know, with the deal like Alsner. And then he's got these other things where he just lets a guy like Mike Ribeiro go, who got signed by the Coyotes in you know, mere minutes of free agency starting. I think he could have traded Ribeiro out and gotten something in return. I mean, something, you know, it's just, oh, we lost it. We lost all of that. It's gone. And then Ribeiro was gone. And the same thing happened with Semin. I mean, you don't get anything in return. That bugged me about GM. But we'll see what he does. We'll see what he does with Mojo. I think besides just the money, you know, money is always a big deal with players. It's going to be the length with his contract. I think GM likes shorter deals. And I think Mojo, he could get maybe a 2-year deal at this juncture, at least a 2-year deal. I don't see him going much farther than that, but only time will tell. We'll see. Is there anything else caps news, caps wise that we should talk about?
I mean, it's pretty quiet right now. I think it's going to be a little quiet for a little while, and then I think August will come up shortly, and then maybe middle of August you'll start seeing some things happen. Or you could see McPhee go out and sign a couple of guys in the near future. We don't really know. There's not a lot of top free agents left, a lot of big guys that can make a lot of impact, and the Caps have a fairly solid roster at the moment. So unless they go out and make a trade, I wouldn't expect too many big things to be going down with the Capitals.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for the Caps this go-around. Like I said before, there's really nothing going on in Hershey or Reading. No reason to go up 83, but there's still a few things going on in the NHL. So, Coach Dan, let's go around the NHL. All right, well, this is a little bit outside the NHL because now it's turning into KHL news. But big news out of New Jersey. Their big star, Kovalchuk, decides to retire in the NHL and goes back home to Russia. I texted you when I found this out and you were pretty shocked. I mean, did you see this coming? I don't think anyone really saw him retiring after being with the Devils for 4 years.
I mean, I think you were the first one that I saw the text from, and I was in the middle of work and I was in the middle of a big busy time, and I kind of took my phone out of my pocket and looked at it and I went, oh, okay. And I was like, wait, what? Kovalchuk is retiring? I think it was one of those things. I mean, it was abrupt. It was what, last Thursday, he just abruptly retired from the NHL, and he left something like $77 million still on the table. And I wonder, and the thing is then, what, less than a week later, he signed with SKA St. Petersburg of the KHL. So to me, it sounds like he just wanted to go home. Now, I can't really blame him, and I think a lot of this can be attributed to the NHL lockout. I think he was just so disillusioned with the NHL and the way they do business. And when he went and he played in Russia during the lockout, I think he was just so happy to be home that he was just – it was done. He'd had enough of the way the NHL does business. He had enough of Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and all of that BS. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. He's going to make more money. There's less taxes and things taken out. If there's any taxes taken out of the money he's going to be making in Russia, he gets to play in front of his friends and his family. And I don't really blame him for what he's doing. If I'm a New Jersey Devils fan and I have friends of mine that are Devils fans, I wish he did this earlier. I wish he did this before the draft, before free agency, so they had an opportunity to be prepared. To have this happen now with a lot of the top free agents gone and a lot of other things happening, I think he sort of screwed them in a sense, because now that big number one player besides Marty Brodeur that they have is gone, and they get nothing for him aside from a pretty decent amount of cap space that suddenly came off the books. But other than that, I mean, he sort of put them in a rough spot, so it certainly kind of messed up the timing that he did. Now, I know the Devils came out, and I believe Lou Lamoriello came out and said that they'd known that he'd been thinking about this and talking about it for a while. I just, if I'm them, I wish he came to his decision sooner.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big Devils fan, but I got to imagine they're not really happy about this. I mean, even if he did do it the civil way and give them a little bit of time before he gave his, you know, 2 weeks, I guess. But I agree with you. I think it all goes back to the lockout. I mean, he played in the KHL. He was the first guy to fly over once the lockout was announced, and he signed over with SKA, and that was it. That was his thing. And then once the lockout was over, he didn't leave immediately. He stayed in the KHL, and he played in their All-Star game. So I think he kind of enjoyed the fact that he was a big name over there, that he could own that league pretty much, and that's what he's doing. I mean, he's playing with a lot of guys that are below his skill level. He's playing with a lot of guys that don't make it in the AHL or don't want to play in the AHL. I mean, you're gonna have guys like Kovalchuk in the same league as a guy who's pretty much gonna be a star over there in Volsky, who used to be a Capital. So we're gonna see that. I mean, I don't blame him for going over there, because it's a buttload of money. It's like $20 million a year, tax-free. It's in your home country. It's with a team that you really enjoyed playing with already, and you're going to – I personally think he's just going to get bored after a while, because he's going to be playing against guys that he shouldn't be playing against. He's going to be skating circles around a lot of these players. So I understand why he did it. I don't like the way he did it. I don't think that he should have just like up and left. I think he should have – said, maybe I'll play one more season so you guys can get settled and do your thing in New Jersey. But I don't know. It makes sense why you'd want to leave and go play in your home country. But at the same time, you promise these guys. They signed him to a huge contract. I don't even remember how many years was it. Like 9 years, and he leaves after the fourth?
I mean, it's not even that. Like he also kind of handicapped them because they got in trouble for the deals and lost some draft picks because of that. I don't know if Parise would have stayed whether they had Kovalchuk or not, but the Devils lost more than just the player. Now they lost a lot of things because they had the player to begin with.
Yeah, this is just very, very nasty and very, I don't know. It's a very uncomfortable situation. And, of course, the media is going to other Russian players and being like, do you think Ovechkin would do the same thing to the Washington Capitals? What do you think the Capitals would do if he left? And Ovi, I think, even though he loves playing for Russia and he's very proud of his country and, you know, I know he can't wait to represent them in the Olympics, I think he really wants a Stanley Cup. And I think that he wouldn't leave – he wouldn't leave the NHL for the KHL without winning a Stanley Cup first. So I don't think we have anything to worry about there with Ovechkin. But Kovalchuk, you know, he's an older guy. He wants to be close to his friends and family. That makes sense. And he's going to make a buttload of money. And he's going to be the star of the KHL. He's going to be the guy who said, you know what, I don't need the $77 million from the NHL. I'll go play in my home country and play in this other league, the KHL, because they like me over there as well. I mean, he is going to be the face of that league.
Oh, he certainly will be. I mean, there's no question there. And I wonder to some extent if this will make it easier for the Caps to get Yevgeny Kuznetsov to come over.
That'll be interesting. I didn't think about that, but we'll see what happens. I think the only other Russian I can think of that's going to be in the KHL, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to go there, is Brizgalov. I don't see him staying in the NHL.
That's because he's a crazy person.
I think he's going to be a KHL goalie next season. I really do. So, that's it. Well, should we make our own around the KHL? I don't know.
Around Ilya Kovalchuk.
But what else is going on in the NHL?
Well, aside from Kovalchuk news, Boston actually signed Patrice Bergeron to a new 8-year, $52 million extension. As long as he can stay healthy, he will be making a lot of money either way. But Boston, in the end, will hopefully not be getting screwed over if he, you know, walks out of his house and breaks his body. The Islanders have signed Josh Bailey to a new 5-year deal with a reported total of $16.5 million. That's a good deal by them. I like Bailey; he's a good player for them. Dustin Penner is actually heading back to Anaheim after signing a 1-year, $2 million deal. Penner was the one that got that humongous an offer sheet from Edmonton years ago and ended up going there from Anaheim. He's actually heading back, making significantly less than he was making before. Well, Los Angeles has acquired Daniel Carcillo from Chicago for a 2015 conditional draft pick. Carcillo, also a crazy person. Florida re-signed Jakob Markstrom to a new 2-year deal. Caps fans will remember him for getting lit up 7-1 by the Caps back in March, and I was at that game. It was a lot of fun to watch It was sort of rough to see a rookie get beat the way he did, but damn, that dude looked like he had no idea what he was doing. He got embarrassed really quickly. Nathan Horton, who recently signed with Columbus, will be out for a little while after undergoing shoulder surgery. Former Philly goalie Ron Hextall has returned to the Flyers as their assistant general manager, and Ty Conklin is back in the NHL as the St. Louis Blues goaltending development coach. That is pretty much all of the interesting NHL news from the past week. It is really slow right now.
Well, you know, it's slow for everybody, and this is the part where everybody feels like, oh my God, there's not going to be any hockey for so long. Luckily, you know, it's not going to be that long like it was last summer. We're not going to have to wait until, you know, January or February. We don't have to wait until September for some preseason and October for the real stuff. But if you're a fan of What the Puck, make sure you stay tuned to the Twitter at WTP underscore podcast and the Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast, because we're still going to be around. No doubt. We love doing the show. We're not going anywhere. But until, you know, news breaks, there's really not going to be a lot for us to talk about. So our shows are going to get a little bit more scattered, and they're not going to be a weekly thing until training camp probably starts. So make sure you stay tuned to the Facebook and the Twitter, and we will be posting whenever we're going to be doing a show. So look forward to when the NHL schedule comes out. Look forward to if Nuvi wants to talk about Braden Holtby again a newspaper in his homeland. We could talk about that. So whenever something breaks, we'll be back. We're not going too far. And if you want to talk hockey, even if we don't do a show or anything, you can always tweet to us personally. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, you're on Twitter as well. Where can people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach, and you can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. The Call, recently we did our first show of our second season, and we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens defending the Super Bowl championship. So if you're into football and the Baltimore Ravens, check out The Call. If you're a hockey fan, you want to listen to past shows of What the Puck to tide it over until we got some new stuff to talk about, our shows are archived, and you can listen to those shows at whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. You can also go over to iTunes and subscribe. You can also download all the past episodes that we've done. I mean, this is episode 41, so you've got plenty of other stuff you can listen to. And, let us know what you think. Of course, leave an iTunes review. And once you click subscribe, whenever a new episode, if you don't want to follow us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you just want to subscribe on iTunes, that's fine as well. Because whenever we do a new show, it'll get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes as long as you subscribe on iTunes or on the podcast app if you have an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. If you have an Android phone, or if you just rather would stream and not download any of the shows, you can listen on Stitcher Radio. It's a great app. You can go over to the Google Play Store or on the App Store on an Apple product and download Stitcher Radio. Set us as one of your favorite stations, and you'll get new shows, hopefully, from Stitcher, and they'll be streaming there. So listen to us whenever you want, man. If you're going on vacation, you're going to the beach, and you just want to listen to some old hockey news, take us with you. You can go anywhere. That's the beauty about podcasting. It's not a certain time or place. It's whenever you are available. It's a freedom of speech. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. Stephen Oleski, thank you so much. You might be our new send-off for this show. We'll end every show with, oh yeah, I love this all the time. I was tweeting. So this is pretty much it for What the Puck. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.